do the thing that you're naturally inclined to do and just go deep in that. Do the thing that you're strong at and you can kill it.
Welcome to Starve the Doubts. I'm your host, Jared Easley, and today I'm thankful to have a return guest. It is Randy Wilburn. Randy, welcome back to the show.
Oh, man. Jared, it's exciting to be back again on your show. And it's been a couple of years, even though we talk on a regular basis. I'm honored to be here. Thank you.
Well, I'm glad you're here and I'm glad you're back. And I think that's a good starting point, actually, is you're no stranger to trying new things and, you know, dealing with change from time to time. And I would say that that's probably true for this particular chapter of your life. So maybe you can catch people up from the last time you were on the show. There's going to be some that didn't listen to that one. So let's just get people caught up real quick.
Well, yeah. So I guess maybe the last time I spoke to you, I was probably living in Rhode Island. I believe I was. And since then, I relocated to Fayetteville, Arkansas. Mm-hmm. And I took a job with a company that I used to be an owner of. And that's why they say you should never burn bridges. And I didn't. And I got here to Fayetteville, Arkansas with my family in 2014. And now in 2019, I spent a couple of years helping to grow the business and just decided that, you know, I got the entrepreneurial itch again and I wanted to get back out on my own, if you will. And so I built up a certain amount of street cred as far as being a speaker, as far as being a trainer in the space. I work primarily with engineers and architects, but I work with anyone really, but primarily, the niche is engineering and architecture. So anything in the design industry space. And so I help them to run their businesses a little bit more efficiently and certainly help them in the area of leadership, communication, and soft skill development, which, you know, we all need help in those areas. So I've kind of stepped out on my own and I have starved the doubts, no pun intended. And I recognize that I can actually do this. And so I'm going after it and really, really excited about the opportunities that are in front of me.
So Randy, as long as I've known you, you've never struck me as someone who's just reckless and, oh, I'm just going to, you know, throw my chances to the wind and see what happens. So I'm curious about that process of how you determined, okay, I am going to make this decision to go out on my own and what that conversation was like with your wife and what were kind of the prerequisites or if there were any check boxes that you needed to have in place before you made that decision.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up because certainly I have a very supportive wife that's been around me for almost 20 years now. We celebrated this year is our 18th year of marriage.
And oh, wow.
Thank you. I could not do it without her. I mean, Nicola is my everything. My three boys are my everything. And certainly I would never do anything to jeopardize them. But they are also, and I'm using air quotes here, all in when it comes to this endeavor and when it comes to me trying to achieve this goal and objective that I felt like it was time for me to do. I'm almost 50. And, you know, it's not that it's a swan song, right? Because I know a lot of people at 50 are like, I'm thinking about retirement. I'm thinking about this. In reality, statistically, our 50s are some of our best earning years. We know enough now. We've finally made enough mistakes at 50 that we kind of have a better understanding about things. Not everybody can say, oh, I was 25 when I figured life out. Most people don't. But at 50, you have a body of work that, if done properly, can carry you through to the next phase of your life. And I don't ever plan to retire personally, but that's just me. But, you know, we've just made a commitment that we're going to go on to this entrepreneurial journey and make it happen as a family, not just me out there by myself. So I've got the support of my wife. I've got the support of my three children. And, you know, here's the deal, Jared. The result and the promise out of all this effort and hard work is the freedom and flexibility that I will be afforded that I didn't necessarily have, even with this most previous job that I just left, you know, where I was traveling all the time, putting 100,000 miles on an airline. I'm going to be able to really have a lot more control over my time, even as I step out and operate and create this new business.
Well, I'm glad to hear that because you did have an aggressive travel schedule, and I'm sure there were times when that was not always your favorite thing to do. But you know, you were a good steward of that opportunity, and now you have an opportunity to kind of create this new deal. So let's just talk about some of that. What's some of the vision? What are some of the steps that are being taken now?
Well, that's great. So I am working on a business. It's called Encourage, Build, Grow LLC, and simply it is a training and consulting firm focused on leadership development, communication, and soft skill development. And the firm is uniquely tied to my why. And my why is simply to encourage and educate others so that they may be the best versions of themselves. And so I am creating online classes for leadership development, online classes for communication, especially in the design industry. Engineers and architects sometimes struggle when it comes to speaking, when it comes to public speaking, or creating messages and doing anything along those lines. So my goal is to give them the framework to be better prepared and more adept at creating messages for a variety of reasons, whether they're working internally with people on their project team, whether they're working externally with a stakeholder in the community or a client, and also whether they're reporting directly to the leadership of their firm. You have to understand how to create a message and understand that every message that you create needs to be created with the audience in mind. And that transcends any business, right? But that is something that I find that is a real challenge for a lot of people. So I'm working on that. And then soft skill development is with millennials and Generation Z coming out of school and being thrust into a much different work environment than I think even they have expected. There's always room for improvement. And I think one of the simplest ways that these individuals who are really smart, who are really, you know, they can run circles around you and I when it comes to computers, when it comes to just their interactivity on a regular basis, when it comes to work and when it comes to life in general. But a lot of times they struggle in some of the soft skill development, like engaging with people, building strong relationships, offline as well as online, and understanding how you do that on a regular basis. And you know what it means to build an intentional relationship and how you get the most out of that and help somebody else as you interact with them. So, you know, my goal is to spend time doing that. And I'm already doing some training in that area and developing clients that have needs that fit nicely into the whole leadership development, communication, and soft skill development area.
What made you decide on the name?
So here's the thing. Somebody told me a long time ago that, you know, you've always been an encourager. You've always been somebody that really has, you know, you always have a positive word for people. You're very uplifting in how you approach life and nothing ever seems to get you down. Now, that's not true because I'm human, right? Like anybody else. I struggle. I deal with my own doubts. I mean, we all deal with that, but I don't wallow in my doubts. And Encourage, Build, Grow was actually something that was really put on my heart years ago. And I just finally decided to bring it to fruition. I thought about different names. I thought about making it the Wilburn Group or something along those lines. I didn't want to make it just about me. I wanted to fully articulate what I'm trying to do, which is to encourage people, to build them up and help them grow in the area that they're focusing in. So with the training and the consulting and coaching that I'm doing, I'm able to do all three of those things. Because we all need encouragement in life, Jerry. You know that. We all need to have a plan for how we're going to build up whatever is on our plate to build up, whether that's a business, whether that's our career, whether that's the decision to write a book, whether that's a decision to start a podcast. We need that momentum to build an understanding of how we do those things and then to grow and just encouragement that, hey, you can get this thing going and this is what it could look like. And you just have to kind of give them that investment. And, you know, I liken it to just the whole idea of watering a bamboo plant. You water it, you water it, you water it for years and years and years. I think it's like 5 years. And then eventually, all of a sudden, that thing just shoots up by 20, 30, 40 feet in the span of a very short period of time. And sometimes you can't see the end result of what you're trying to work towards until you really focus on getting the legwork and the foundation done. And if you do that properly, then that you can really have some a higher level of success. And so that's my goal with Encourage, Build, Grow, is to give people that foundation necessary so that they can grow both in their careers, personally, professionally, no matter what they're doing.
Hey, Randy, what's a story from your experience, whether it's, you know, working with your previous group or in New England, that you feel like has uniquely prepared you for this now?
Oh, man, there are a number of stories. I think one of the best stories that I've run across recently that I've been a part of was I've been sharing a lot on Instagram and I've been talking a lot about professional development. And I had an opportunity to speak at an industry event. There's an organization called Deltek and they have an industry event. Deltek's a huge company that works in the design industry and they work in several other verticals as well. But they asked me to come and speak. I had a chance to speak on communication, the importance of it. I had a talk called Communicate Like Churchill. And I had a talk on habits and routines. And I was blown away by the response of people that actually came to the event. I really practice what I preach when it comes to delivering a talk in person. And I was interacting with everybody in the audience. And one talk had about 150 people there. The other talk had almost 300 people in the audience. And I had several people come to me after the fact saying how impressed they were with the discussion on communication, how impressed they were with discussion about hacking your day and getting the most out of building winning routines to make the most of your day. And several people said to me, I was really appreciative of, they had wished that this was a keynote speech for the event. And this is a huge event. I mean, they had Johnny Cupcakes come in and speak, as well as a couple of other people, but he was the main keynote person that they had come in and speak. And he spoke to probably an audience of almost 3,000 people. And I had several people come to me and say, man, we wish you had been on the main stage because what you had to say was so impactful. And honestly, I always speak to the one. It's not about numbers, but my goal has always been to speak to the one. And I was truly affirmed and it really helped me, made me feel good about the information that I delivered because I had so many people come back to me and tell me how impactful the talk was and how they were going to apply that, whether to their daily life with regard to the routines and habits or to communicating more efficiently and effectively in their work, you know, when it came to the communication talk that I did. So that was an amazing event. And I'll be honest with you, and I know some of your audience struggles with imposter syndrome. I've been there, done that. I have the t-shirt to prove it. Sometimes we need those little wins, those small victories are really what provides, ignites and provides the fuel that we need to really grow. And for me, I honestly thought, you know, I'm my own worst critic. I was like, it was okay. I didn't think it was that great until I started getting all this feedback. And then Delta came back to me and said, hey, we want to be involved with you on other things. I was like, wow, I actually created something that people really liked, that people really resonated with. And so I think anybody listening to this, your audience, they need to recognize that everybody has something to share. You don't know how you're going to impact people until you get out there and share the things that are on your heart to share, whatever it is. Everybody has, you know, there are people that are listening to this that have specific skill sets that could be a blessing to others if they would just get out and share those skills that they have and their wins and their successes in their work and the things that they do on a regular basis. Too often we think or we say, you know, I'll leave that for somebody else. I'm just not equipped to share what I know with the world. But I'm here to say the world is clamoring for what you have. And that goes for anyone. The world wants to hear from you. You may not fill Madison Square Garden. You may not fill, you know, as many people as were at the Super Bowl last night in Atlanta. But even if you have 10 people and you change or impact even one of them, I mean, that's all that's required to start a movement. It doesn't take a gajillion people. And I know even with people listening to podcasts or starting a podcast, they're worried about numbers of downloads and all that other stuff. Listen, I mean, I've heard Pat Flynn say it. I've heard you say it, Jared. People don't recognize the power of an audience of 100 people, just 100 people. If you could replicate that, you say you have, I have 100 people downloading my podcast on a regular basis. That's a lot of folks. Yeah. And just imagine going into a room of 100 people. What would you do? How would you prepare? Think of it that way. So don't look at the numbers of anything that you're doing and say, oh, well, you know, that I'm not getting a chance to reach the largest audience possible. No, make the difference, because all you need is one person in that group to take one of your ideas and it crystallizes something in them that allows them to go out and do something amazing. That could literally change the world. I mean, that's how ideas spread.
Randy, I want to talk just for a moment about one of your family members. It is Black History Month, and as of this recording, and you have a family member who's, I believe it's a journalistic background, and
yeah,
just wanted to share a little bit about him and what are some lessons you've learned from him and maybe how that applies to where you're at now.
Yeah, I appreciate you asking about that. You know, I totally forgot that it is Black History Month, and I should know that. I mean, I am African American. But yes, my grandfather, Mal Good, was the first Black network newscaster for ABC News. So before anybody African American that you've seen on ABC, Lester Holt, Max Robinson, I mean, you've seen obviously a lot of people nowadays, but he was the first. And the significance of that was that this was 1962.
Yeah.
And Jackie Robinson knew somebody at ABC News who was saying, you know, we really want to hire a Black newscaster. Do you know anybody? And so Jackie knew several people, but he was very close with my grandfather because my grandfather used to travel with him when he worked with the Pittsburgh Courier. And so Jackie threw out my grandfather's name. Now, my grandfather at the time is 54 years old, mind you, which is, you know, in news days nowadays, everybody's looking for the youngest person, right? The new young anchor, a new young reporter. So just keep that in mind. Anyway, my grandfather goes to New York. He goes up against like 35, 40 other candidates for this job. They put him into a room. He writes a couple of news stories and boom, before you know it, they're like, you know what? We're hiring this guy. And literally within like 3 months of him being at ABC News, the only African American there reporting the news as a journalist, as a television journalist, he happens to be working the third weekend in October 1962, which for any history majors or any history buffs that listen to your podcast will know, that's when all hell broke loose with the Cuban Missile Crisis.
Yeah.
And it was significant because it's honestly, this is the closest, I guess, that we will ever know right now that we've ever come to nuclear war. My grandfather had a lot of connections at the United Nations because that was his beat. He covered the UN and he basically knew everything that was going on. And that was a weekend. Most of the reporters were taken off for the weekend, gone fishing or whatever. And he was the only one there at the United Nations when all hell was breaking loose. And so his people at ABC said, hey, Mal, you've got to start reporting. We need to go live to you because this is a big deal. So within 48 hours, in 1962, my grandfather was live on national TV 18 times. And I want to say he was on the radio about 15 or 16. And this was significant simply because white America had never seen an African American reporting the news on national TV like this.
Wow.
Period. End of story. And it was just a big deal for him. It was a big deal for ABC News because they have the foresight to do it. I also think the tie-in with Jackie Robinson being the first to break the color barrier in Major League Baseball and his relationship with my grandfather being the first to break the color barrier in broadcast journalism at the network level, it was significant. And it was never lost on me, his ability. And I think that's one of the reasons why I enjoy podcasting so much. That's one of the reasons why I've always gravitated to audio, listening to creating news stories, to writing in blogs, and, you know, just to doing my own podcast. And as a young kid, I can remember listening to my grandfather do a countdown, 3, 2, 1, before he would record. Like literally, that's when they used alligator clips, and he would connect his tape recorder to the inside of a rotary dial phone, which a lot of your audience doesn't even know what it is, and would send his interviews to the radio station, wow, to ABC News. So I remember all of that. And I mean, I could go on and on. He was friends with Malcolm X. He was friends with Martin Luther King, very close friends, friends with Muhammad Ali, friends with Bobby Kennedy, George Bush. I posted a picture of him and George Bush back at the United Nations years ago, Adlai Stevenson. I mean, he really, even in the what many would say that was the twilight of his career, 54 years of age, was able to come out and do something amazing. That's why I tell people it's never too late, right? I mean, that's not a Black history thing concept. That's just a human being concept. A lot of times people say, I'm over 50. It's never too late. Colonel Sanders did his KFC at 65. I mean, you know, it's never too late to do that. So my grandfather is a monument in my life for so many different things, the least of which was that he broke ground as an African-American as a broadcast journalist. And I will forever be indebted to him. As a matter of fact, it's one of my greatest affirmations that I repeat every morning is that I had the privilege to grow up with and listen to and be around and be impacted by a trailblazer in broadcast journalism.
Well, that is personified Star of the Doubts. No doubt. I love that story. Everything you just said, the age, there's so many elements of that that is fantastic. Randy, thank you for sharing that. And I've seen pictures where you posted like him and Muhammad Ali. That's like, you know, no big deal.
Yeah, right. And again, yeah. And I also knew Muhammad Ali because his daughter grew up next door to me. So one of his daughters. And so I ran into him several times. And again, as a kid, you don't realize the impact or how he impacted people. But when I hear people talk about Muhammad Ali today that never knew him, but he was so impactful to them. I was like, wow, that's amazing. And I took it for granted that I actually knew the guy. And yeah, it kind of is. But you know, I look at people now, like I saw Hank Aaron on TV the other night. He and my grandfather were really close friends. Willie Mays. I mean, all of these amazing people that my grandfather had a chance to interact with and impact. And at a time when, you know, race relations were quite tenuous. I mean, we're still struggling in this country, even today, 2019. I thought it would be a lot different. We still have a long way to go, but there's always going to be hope when there were people like my grandfather and others that have always sought the best in people. Because as my grandfather liked to say, we're either going to learn to live together or we're going to die like dogs. And it sounds hard, but it's true. We have to, as human beings, we have to learn to live together. We have to learn to listen to each other, to understand our fears, to understand our doubts, to understand the things that we're most scared of and how we overcome that. And we can't do it without helping each other out. That's why my relationship with you is so important. That's why my relationship with so many people that I come in contact with is so important, because it helps me grow as an individual. Without that, I'm nothing.
Yeah, I'm thankful too. Your boys get to see you trailblaze again. You know, I think that's pretty exciting. The stories they're going to be able to share, you know, 40 years from now about my dad did this, you know. Mm-hmm. So I'm proud of you, Randy. I think that's really what I'm trying to say. There's two questions we'd like to close out with. Of course, the first one is people want to connect with you online. How do they do that?
Oh, absolutely. I'm always easily reached on Instagram or Twitter at Randy Wilburn. It's just my name, RandyWilburn. Mm-hmm. I can also be reached. My email is randy@encouragebuildgrow.com. And that's the easiest way to do it. And my website is encouragebuildgrow.com as well. So just check me out there. I'd love to connect with anyone that wants to share what they're going through or what they're dealing with. And if I can help somebody in some way, shape, or form, even if it's just a simple word of encouragement, I'm all ears. So,
well, Randy, you pretty much dropped the mic several times on this interview, but we do like to close out with final thoughts. So if there is an additional word, go ahead.
Yeah. You know, I realize here's the thing. A lot of people that are listening to this are thinking about maybe starting a podcast or starting a blog or, you know, doing videos. My only piece of advice and encouragement is do the thing that you're naturally inclined to do and just go deep in that. And that's actually something that helped me, because I wanted to be the best blogger. I wanted to be the best videographer. But I found out that my real strength and skill set was in audio. So I've just gone deep in audio. That's why I created a podcast for my old company. That's why I'm in the process of creating a new location-based podcast for Northwest Arkansas. But do the thing that you're strong at and you can kill it.
Well said. Randy, best wishes with everything. And of course, man, I'll be in touch and you have my support and look forward to seeing this grow.
Thanks so much, Jared. I appreciate you, buddy.